Blog Talk Radio.
Behold your God.
Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. This is Fernell Hewing coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin, and we are saying, along with Dr. Derek David Kuhn, we thank him for opening the airways for us so that you, where you are, may behold your God, that the Lord may arise where you are and your enemies be scattered, and then he will speak peace to you. We are so grateful for the opportunity to share with you the Word of God and to come to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin, telling you that the Lord is calling his church now to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and to listen very carefully what he says to you so that you can follow it to a letter, because he's calling his church now into a resting place. We believe that the King is going to return soon. We believe that when he comes back, he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, and he's coming back to bring his church into the kingdom. And we are here to tell you that the Lord is saying to all of his believers to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and to listen very carefully to what he's saying to you, and for you to do as you enter into what he's saying to the church and for the church. We're going to be talking tonight about Jesus Christ and his healing, his ministry of healing. And so we are spending our time now looking into the Word of God to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church. And I believe that he is saying to the church that I am a healer, and I've come to the church for healing, and I want to heal. I want to heal the brokenhearted. I want to heal and bring peace to the trouble, but most importantly, I want to heal bodies. I want to heal sickness and diseases. I want to heal those who has torments and need deliverance. And so we're going to be talking about that tonight. But in the meanwhile, let's listen to our prophet, Dean Mitchum, sing A New Church Arising. And because we are the new church, and we're the church of Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, who wants to come back into his church and fulfill all that he died for. Let's listen to Dean saying to you as well.
Hallelujah. Come on, God is raising up a new church. Are you a part of that church? The saints move in. Come on, hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
There's a new church rising.
There's a new
church rising.
So grateful for Prophet Dean opening with that song tonight, because we're going to be talking about this new church that's rising, and rising in the pulpit, is rising in the seat, is healing the sick, is raising the dead, and most importantly, he said, it is doing all that Jesus did, all that Jesus died for. And so that's what we want to look at. We've been looking at the book of Matthew. If you've not been with us during the times that we've taught on the book of Matthew, we're just looking into his word, the most precious word. God's word is so precious. It is so very precious, and I want us to treat it as though it's the most precious thing in earth, because it is the only truth in the earth, and it has great power in it. It's the one thing in the earth that has life and power to bring forth that which is not into that which is. And so always treat the word as though it is most precious. It is the most precious gift God has given us, because it is his word. And I believe Matthew proves to be one of those books. It's the first book where Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus our Savior, Jesus our Messiah, Jesus the one who died for our sins. We meet him, yes, we see him in the other Gospels, but we see more of him in the book of Matthew, because we start off with the genealogy of Christ, which starts in book one. Chapter 1 of Matthew said, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Because you see, we start with Jesus in the book of Matthew in such a way that we know that this book is entirely about Jesus and who he is. And all of our lives, everything we are, has to do with who Jesus is if we're born-again believers. If we're not born-again believers, we can only be born again through the Spirit of the living God, through Jesus Christ. So I want to talk tonight about a special topic that's been on my heart, has been very much in my prayer life, seeing what is the Lord doing in his church in these end times for healing of the body. I've written many books on the healing of body, of soul, of spirit, of heart, and of mind. And I always mention body, but in the book of Matthew, and I have written a few, one especially that deals with healing of the physical body. And Jesus did so much healing of the physical body. So we're going to talk about that tonight. But before we get there, let's go back and just look briefly. We say that in the book of Matthew, it appears that Jesus comes on the scene as boots on the ground. That is, he's in our face to teach us who Jesus is, who he is, who God is, what the church is about. I mean, all of our lives, everything about us, we come to grips with it in the book of Matthew, because we see in chapter 4, when Jesus comes on the scene, and he first thing he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means he's here, he's in your presence, he's like boots on the ground to you. So now repent, and the repentance at that point, I believe, means that we need to just change our direction, turn around, instead of looking in Jesus' day. He was telling them, instead of the law, I want you to turn to me because I bring truth and I bring the Spirit in. And I think he's saying to us, we've learned so much, and we have been in all types of situations where God has made himself strong to us. And so now I want you to meet me because I have another message. I have the message that you need at this time. And so in Matthew 4, we hear him saying in verse 11, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then we see him also in chapter 4 when he tells the disciples in 4 verse 19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I think he's saying that to the church now. I think the church is in this great transition that the world was in when John the Baptist and Jesus came. They came to bring the Spirit in where people had walked in the law. I think Jesus has come on the scene now to bring us into the Spirit of the living God, where we walked in our knowledge and our understanding of God and of things of the Lord, but not come face to face with Jesus and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, and then listening for to follow it. When he said to the disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, remember it was after he had come on the scene, and of course, so many things had happened leading up to this with John the Baptist opening the way for him to come. But here he comes. He said, now, follow me. And follow me means watch me. Well, stay close to me. I remember when we first started our territorial move, a launch here in the city in South Central Wisconsin, the first prayer he gave us to pray was, follow me, our first directive was to follow me so closely, follow the Lamb so closely that the Diablo can't come between us. And we had to study that out for some time, and we wondered, why did he say follow the Lamb instead of saying follow me or follow Jesus? And what he was saying to us as we did that territory launch was that I want you to follow the Lamb. The Lamb went to the slaughter. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, and he went to the slaughter. So he was saying to us, follow me, and if I tell you to die to something, you die immediately. Because if you don't die immediately, Satan will come in there, Diablo will come in, and will stop you from going with me. And so we studied that out for quite some time before we took a move toward the goal that he had given us. And I think the same thing is true here. When he said to the disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, that is you, and he's saying that to the church now. I want you to follow me. Follow what you know. Yes, you know all about the prophetic. You know all about the apostolic. You know about evangelism. All those are wonderful things, and you will definitely do that. But I want to show you, I want to put the Spirit in the apostolic, not knowledge. I want to put spirit in the knowledge that you have. I want to put the spirit in the prophetic so that as the prophetic takes on a kingdom of power, then you will see me in that kingdom power where the prophetic will not just be words you hope for, look for, but you will see it coming alive in the earth in a powerful way that's impossible from the natural. And so we look at chapter 4 when he called the first four disciples and said, follow me. And then we look and you notice what he did. And I think he's telling this church and telling us to do the same thing. Immediately after he said that, we see in the same chapter in verse 28, I want to make sure I got the right one. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. I'm going to talk healing tonight, but I want you to look at Jesus and how he did it. It says that he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And then as he preached the gospel of the kingdom, he healed all manner of diseases and all manner of sickness. And so it appears as though he did the preaching, and then what he did, he performed his words. We've always said that Christ performs his word. And so we see that, but we see something else there. One of the reasons, I believe, when he did the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, there was an anointing on the words that the people gathered, and they gathered to hear him. And once he saw the people gathering, then in chapter 5, we see, and seeing the multitudes, this is verse 1-5, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, saying, now he had to position himself, he's here now, to begin to tell them how the kingdom is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. And as you notice, as he gives us first teaching of the Beatitudes, he was telling them, I'm changing from what you know, which is the law, to what is in your heart. And you're going to respond by what's in your heart, and it's going to be righteousness. It's not just going to be right. The law gave them that which was right, and they obeyed the law doing that which was right. We've done that a lot in the church, that we know what to do, we know what not to do, and we do it and do that which is right, but it didn't affect our heart, nor our character, nor our change, because we were doing what was right rather than doing righteously. And so he gives us the Beatitudes, which told us what was righteous. When he talks about you're the light of the world, and unless your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, that had to be a change of heart. And then he began to teach against murder and against anger. And he didn't teach about don't shoot, don't kill. He's talked about what was in your heart. You know, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you see, and if you say to your brother, Raka, though, then this had to come from the heart. And so we see him bringing the Spirit of the Lord in the earth, calling for a change of heart. I believe that's where the church is today. I believe that's where believers are today. Believers know a lot about the Lord, but there are some change of character that will come about when the Spirit of the Lord come into their heart and change their heart. And that's what we're talking about as we go through the book of Matthew. I'm just going to review some of the teachings he did. He taught on temptation. He taught on divorce. He taught on taking an oath, which probably was very common in that day to take an oath, and we do it now without thinking. He taught on forgiveness. He taught on giving. He taught on prayer. He taught on fasting. He taught on money, finances, and your treasure, get your treasure in earth, and teaching on how not to worry, and teaching on judging and being judged. And then he taught on asking and receiving, and he taught them that the gate they were called into was a straight gate and it was a narrow gate if they didn't come in. He wanted them to be careful about false prophets and then how to build their life on a foundation. So don't you say that if you read through the book of Matthew and you've started chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, you will see a change in the earth of what God was saying. And I believe it's so applicable to us today because we have learned so much. We've been in different churches. We've been to conferences. We've read great books. You've even read some of mine. And you have knowledge, but I think the Lord is calling us to a change of heart. He's also calling us to a faith in Him that we've not had. We've somewhat had a faith in our knowledge and in our knowing, and knowing how to respond to something or how to get God to act. We have a lot of methodologies that we use, and they're not all wrong or bad, but if we adhere to the methodology and not get our hearts fixed on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I think that's what He's trying to get us to do. And I was really excited about getting to chapter 8. We've been a long time getting here because the teaching of Jesus in the Beatitudes all the way through to the end of chapter 7 is so much in there, so we really need to purpose to get it in our heart and to act it out in our lives. And I think if we really want to move with the Lord in these last days, because there's great power coming in the earth against us, but there's great power God wants to put in our lives so that we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. And that's not a joke. That's not just a common saying. I think He wants to get the word in us so that we can stand. It's not an easy thing. I'm praying through that myself. I still say that the best way to do it is to read a few verses, think on them, and then pray those verses for yourself. And I think the prayer is for the Lord to fulfill, to perform His word, you see. Because even when we read the word and we get a knowledge of it, when we try to enter in and act it out, flesh gets in, and our flesh is so corrupt until we will never be able to do it. And what happens if we can partially do it, we get puffed up in the mind, or if we can't do it, we get discouraged and drop it, and then we begin to step in that which we can do. But I think what the Lord is saying for us here and what He's taught me, if you read the verse or two or three, however number, and then go back and think on it, as you're thinking on it, thinking on the fact of those verses, what it's saying, and then literally pray them verse by verse, asking the Lord to do that for you or to open the way for you to enter in it. So when you begin to pray, then the prayers would open the way for God to answer your prayer to perform His word, because that's what He wants, His word to be living flesh to us. And so we come tonight to the very precious chapter. Now we see that Jesus has taught. Now He steps off into another position on the scene. He comes down from the mountain of having taught the disciples, and He began to activate who He is. He began to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He began to show Himself strong as a king of the kingdom. And so let's look at the first thing that He did. I love this chapter 8 because He taught them how the Spirit of the Lord is going to come in and change them and how they're to respond to that. Now He comes in and He moves in, as boots on the ground. Chapter 8, it says this, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And I think that's what we need to have the Word of God so powerfully taught and precept upon precept, that the crowds will be moved by God's Word, not by our oratory, because we can preach good, but when the Word has an anointing on it and power, then crowds will follow, you see. Sometimes we can preach the Word out of commonality, simply because it's common to us, because we've read that scripture 10 times. We think we know what it means, and so we know what it ought to mean to people, so we preach it. I call that commonality, because the scripture then becomes common to us because we've heard it, we've read it. But I grant you, beloved, if you take the scripture, read it, think on it, and then pray it, you may not even get an opening of what it means at that moment, but the Lord heard your prayer, and maybe 2 days later, or maybe you go back and you see another scripture, and that scripture will open up. He wants our spirits to be open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and to enter into it. I want to tell you something else I believe. I believe that one of the reasons that we don't get great mileage out of the Word of God, that the way the Lord wants that, we tend to, especially those of us that really live by the Word or read the Word a lot or make it a part of our lives, we tend to consume the Word for our benefit. I see so much of that. We don't have a heart. We need a heart for people. We need a heart for people to be saved. We need a heart for people to hear the Word of God and not just consume it because it makes us feel good, or it makes us know more about Christ, or it makes us feel a different level of walk with God, and then we enjoy it. We enjoy our prayer time. I pray this, that we have more of a heart for the lost souls that are around us, not just around us, the lost souls in our family. We need to pray, and I'm talking to all of us, to myself, we need to pray every day for the lost souls. We need to pray for those that are doing well, that's got great jobs, great marriages, great houses. You know, we don't pray for them if their souls are lost. We're okay because we don't have to worry about them. If we got a drunk out there in the street that might kill himself, or a drug addict, we might pray for them, or somebody's in jail. But we're not praying for the souls to be saved. We need to pray, get our when we get a truth from the Lord, we need to pray for the souls, that truth will become alive to them. We're still coming short of being the family priest intercessor, which is what this program is all about. And so let's look at what Christ did when he came in the earth. He literally, when he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," he wants the disciples to follow him so that whatever he did, they would do the same thing and men would follow. He's saying the same thing to us. Follow me. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying now to the church and for the church, and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He became a fisher of men because when he stepped on that mountain and positioned himself to preach and teach, then people heard the Word of God, and then they followed him. And once they followed him, he began to do that which was necessary to cause them to know who he was, to let them know that the kingdom of heaven had come on hand and the king was in their presence. And so I think he'll do the same thing for the church now. When we let the Word of God, when we teach the Word of God, not just what we know about the Word of God, but that Word that has become residence in us for the purpose of the kingdom. Notice he was not just learning to just on the earth to make sure that everybody know he was God. He preached and taught on the kingdom. And then now we see him in chapter 8. We see him not just only teaching on the kingdom. We see him manifesting the kingdom in their presence. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I think we need to get ready to manifest God's kingdom in the presence of the people after we have taught them. Let's look at what happened. In chapter 8 it reads, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." And I think if we take heart to follow Jesus, and he'll make us fishers of men. Look at what happened. The leper was the one that was so ostracized from the community, that they could not even come near. The Bible tells us that they had to say unclean, unclean, so that man wouldn't even come near them. And so he comes down from the mountain after he's finished teaching, and then he begins to heal. And it's interesting, the first one he began to heal is a great lesson for us. This was the one that was unclean. And leprosy in that day, and probably still is in this day, we don't have as much talk about leprosy. I think what you might akin leprosy to, and I'm not sure of this because I'm not medically and knowledgeable, could be AIDS or that type of sickness that comes that's very contagious. And there are other contagious diseases. But what happened here, Jesus shows up that the one that he should not touch, he not only he saw the leper. Behold, there came a leper and worshiped him. Look at what happened. The word worship him meant that here this leper came to Jesus worshiping him. Now you think about that. If you worship anyone, if you worship God, it means that you humble yourself and you honor them. Your attention, here's a leper. His attention was not just coming up to Jesus saying, heal me because I know you can. He worshiped him. And I believe if you get lost in worship and lost in the greatness of this one who is so worthy to be God, to be looked up to, that you forget your illness. If you worship him in spirit and in truth, and the first thing it says, this leper came and worshiped him. And as the leper came and worshiped him, he says something else. If thou will, listen to what he says, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. I believe what he was saying is, I'm not going to take for granted that you can make me clean, that you will do it. I'm not just going to come in your face and believe that because you're God and I've heard your message and I've seen you heal others, that you will heal me also. But first of all, he worshiped him, which showed a sense of humility. And then he said, if you will, you can make me clean. I think that's meaning I will abide by what you will. I'm not just going to assume that I have the word. Some people say if you speak the word, then God will do it. No, he worshipped him, which means he set himself aside from his what he was concerned about and worshipped God. And in the worship, he said, "If thy will, thou shalt make me clean." And look at how Jesus responded. And he said, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Now what happens to the minister or pastor who here comes in the church, someone who's dying of AIDS, I say that one, there may be other things, and he preached a gospel of healing and truth, and then after he preaches, he comes, sometimes pastors have a tendency to come to the door to greet people, and here come this tattered looking person that has been probably lost a lot of flesh, and people know that that one is dying. Will he reach out and touch that one, or will he be afraid to come close because that one may pass the disease on? You notice one thing about Jesus. Jesus was tired sometime. He was hungry sometime. He was weary sometime. But you never did see anywhere in the Bible where he was sick. There was something about that I think he was, not only because he was God, I believe he wants to position us so that, because sicknesses, from all evidence, come from the enemy, that the enemy, and he said once in his word that the prince of this world cometh and he has nothing in me. I don't know whether that's a key to the reason he never was reported to be sick, because he didn't have anything in him that he could attach the disease to. But we see Jesus willing to heal this one who is, and immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And you notice in this instance, Jesus healed with a touch. Okay, now we'll see him healing with a word, but he healed with a touch. And sometimes you need a touch from the Lord, and sometimes we're asking for a touch, but we get asking for that touch so we can feel the touch. But you see, if he touches us, he doesn't touch us just for us to enjoy his touch. He's fulfilling a purpose of the church, and when he fulfills the purpose of the church, he wants us to fulfill the purpose of the church also. He will be expecting that we're going to touch others and they're going to be healed. And listen what he says. And Jesus said unto him, see thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto men. And what he was saying is, don't go out just bragging about your healing. I think sometimes people really to speak too fast before the fullness of their healing comes. And so, but don't tell anyone, but go to, and I want you also to know that I abide by the law. Jesus wanted people to know that he abided by the law, but he was bringing the Spirit in. In the law, the leper was supposed to go to Moses, and then he would pronounce him clean, and then they could be pronounced clean. What he really was saying is, you want to make sure that this healing is going to be a testimony so men can see it, so let's go get the proof. It's almost like our going to the doctor, making sure the doctor give us proof that we are completely healed. You might have an instant healing in a service one night, and then you go back to the doctor. You need to bring evidence that this healing is real. It's something akin to that. Let me go on, because Jesus is about healing, which we have not allowed him to do in our churches now. We come to church sick. We go home sick. We're afraid to ask for healing, and I think it's also because we're afraid to preach on healing, because to preach on healing and to ask for healing, we've got to come in close. We've got to come to Jesus. We got to get to know him, not just about him, you know. And so it's almost like if my grandson, I use him all the time because he's so close here with me, if he wants to know about me but won't come in close, and I've got a granddaughter I don't see all the time, and so she's still my granddaughter, he's still my grandson, but until he comes in close and know me, you know, it's different than one that's a far distance just come, and one might say, I need $100, I need money for this, can you send it to me? Yes, I can send that, but the one who knows me will probably get it quicker, you see. And so I think healing is the same thing. Let's look at the next episode. This is when the centurions came. This is verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many that come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame day. Hour. I think it's appropriate for us to really, if we come in and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, saying to us, if we come in and notice how he carries out the ministry of healing, it's a key in there for healing in the church. We want to pray that everyone listening will have a heart for the sick and the afflicted. And I believe, the medical profession is really kind of out of, it's really not a good thing to be caught up in it because of the fact that I think it's taken over the world. It is so very expensive, and it is destroying people's finances. It's destroying especially some who built up some savings. The medication is high. The doctors are high. If you don't have insurance, they even charge you for not having insurance and all of that. And I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying the Lord wants to come back to his church, and he wants to heal his people. And I believe if we can raise up people that will have a heart for God, a heart for healing, that he will come back into his church as a healer. And I think this chapter kind of shows us that. Here's the centurion. It gives us some key. First, he hears the leper, because the leper comes to him worshiping, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. I believe one of the great need in the body of Christ now is healing of the saints, that is, the believers in Jesus Christ. I believe when they begin to, when those of us that are believers and even ministers begin to cry out for their healing in the church and begin to believe God, I believe that they will come then to a place where they will open themselves up to preach and teach the kingdom has come on earth as it is in heaven, and begin to teach and preach on healing. Bishop Hammer always taught us that when you preach a word, and we see Christ doing that, you preach it first and then you perform the word by ministering the word, and that is why you always minister the word that you preach, because the Spirit of the Lord comes in to confirm the word of God and to perform that word. So when you preach on healing and really come in and open yourself up to receive healing, I believe he comes back. The leper came to him for healing. He came to the master and asked him, if it be thy will, thou can make me clean. Now, he knew that leprosy was a disease of uncleanness, and he had to be made clean. And so he asked specifically for what he wanted, because, again, you know, leprosy was thought of as a uncleanness, and he had to cry uncleanness. So he asked for that. Now, here the centurion, it's another question, another key I believe is so key for healing, and that is the centurion came to him asking for the healing of his servant. Now, that is, first of all, the centurion was asking him to heal someone else. I think we can begin to pray for others to be healed. And first of all, he said, I will then come and heal him. Now, and then that's when the centurion said that he wasn't worthy. So that showed great humility. This centurion, being a centurion, probably had a status among his people, and he probably was someone who most people looked up to. But here he comes to Jesus, and he shows great humility. He doesn't just show humility by his faith, but the fact that he evidently cared enough about his servant. Although you might say he knew his servant, if his servant stayed sick, he couldn't. Take care of him like he should. But he comes to Jesus for his servant, and that gives us a key that we can come to Jesus for other people, and we come believing him for other people, you see. And so Not only does he come for the servant, but he also tells Jesus, this shows his humility, I'm not worthy for you, but I have faith that if you just send the word, I believe, because you see, I understand authority, and I know that you have authority. I have a knowing faith, and that you see, there are three types of faith. One is a presumptuous faith, one is a foolish faith, and the other is a knowing faith. A presumptuous faith, presume that because I'm, I've been good, I go to church, I pay my tithes, I've given my life to the Lord, I work in the church, I presume that you're going to heal me, okay? Look at how I've sacrificed myself for the ministry, what have you. So I presume that you're going to heal me. And then there is also the foolish faith to say, well, he'll heal me because he's supposed to, or I'm a Christian and Jesus heals all Christians and what have you. But knowing faith, come to the place where your faith in Christ is based on who Christ is, because you know who he is. And not only that, you have heard, when, like he told the leper, I will. The leper said, if thy will, thou can make me clean. When he said, I will, then the leper, that gave him a knowing faith to believe. And the same thing with the centurion, he said, I will come and heal him. So he didn't say, I will come and pray for him. I'll come and see if I can talk to him. I'll see what the Lord, what my father says. He said, I will come and heal him. That gives a knowing faith that he's already said he will heal, and so he's willing to come. But the centurion steps back and release a faith. And, you know, it's interesting. Three things are said here that could be applicable to the church. Jesus said to the centurion to go his way, and because you believe, because you believe me, I heal. Okay, sometimes we have a difficult time believing Jesus, but something else happened here that we want to give attention to. He says of the Israelites, but the children of the kingdom. No, let me go to verse 7, and I'm sorry, that's, I can barely see the small number. Verse 11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Just before that, in the end of verse 10, he said, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Remember, Jesus Christ came to the Israelites. Jesus Christ comes to us as his believers, but do we believe him? And he is telling them, and I believe he's saying the same thing to the church, he will come in and heal others that may not be of the born-again believers because they don't have the faith. He said, I haven't seen such great faith even among the ones I came to save, which was the Israelites. But he said, and then he said, began to say, many shall come from the east and the west. And what he really was saying, many will come that are not of the Israelites. And I believe he's saying to the church, many will come that are not of the born-again believers. You see, that some, if you know anything, some will think that because I'm Pentecostal, because I'm Baptist, because I'm Methodist, because I'm this, because I'm Catholic, then the Lord will heal, but he won't heal the others. And he's saying, he's only going to be dealing with faith and those that believe in him, and he shows us that humility has a great part in that. And so he told, he said he would go and heal, so it shows that sometime he'll come right into your room and heal, right into where you are. Sometime he will just touch, and then sometime he'll, but he sent his word, and he healed the servant, because the Bible says at the very end, and Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee, and his servant was healed in the selfsame hour, which shows the power of his word when there is a knowing faith. And the faith came not just because the centurion believed, but God spoke it and said, go thy way and I will heal. That gives a knowing faith. And so sometimes if you pray through, we have a group, many of our people now are going through the Repentance and Remission book I wrote, trying to repent of any and everything to find out what God is holding. Sometimes the knowing faith, you know, you press in to know whatever God wants you to do in order to bring about the healing. And so the next one is a very simple one, you might think, but it's not that simple. It says, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah and the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now, you know, when you read Matthew like this, it's easy for you want to put this word back in ancient times, and it's not for today. I believe when we look at it, it is for today, but I think that we don't know the God we serve well enough. We are so, some people say westernized, I think worldwide, until we don't come in close enough to the Lord, and because we have done some great things in the church, and God has made himself strong to us, and we've served well, we think we have a bargaining chip, and we use a bargaining chip, that may not be a good word when I'm speaking spiritual thing, with God, and we bargain with who we are, we bargain with what we know of God, we know that he is a healer, but we don't know why he isn't healing us. It's easy to know he's a healer and believe for the healing, I believe sometimes we need to take the position that I'm going to be like the centurion, I'm going to come face to face, and I'm going to say to them, my servant is sick and grievously tormented, and Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And then the leper who comes and says, if it be thy will, thou can make me clean. You know, we're going through one of my books with a lot of my people, and it's called Repentance and Remission for Past Sin. Sometimes the Lord wants to get our attention. We might have been good all of our lives. We might have been holy. We might have done some great things for God. But there may be one thing in our lives that we have not repented of because we haven't found it, and we don't know it, but God is holding that. And you say, well, why would he not heal me? Why would he hold on to that? If he did heal you and he didn't get rid of that, remember Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me, and maybe that's why he was never sick. Maybe there's something that we're not aware of, and maybe something to our sin that is connected to our lives. There's something that the enemy has, and maybe as we come in close to him and begin to have a humility like the leper, who, if it be thy will, thou can make me clean. But if it's not your will, I still worship you. Or be like the centurion who comes in and say, I'm not worthy for you to come in, but he humbled himself mightily. And so you say, what happens with Peter and his mother? Did he heal Peter's mother because he wanted her to serve them? I believe it's another evidence that he can heal instantly. It's another evidence that it doesn't matter whether it's a chronic disease, an acute disease, or something that's terminal, or something that's debilitating, that when he comes in, he can heal instantly. Listen to what he says about this. He said, and when Jesus come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of the fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now, then after that, you see he brought people that were possessed with the devil, so he cast them out, and he healed them, all that were sick. See, he cast out the spirits with his word, and that it might be fulfilled. He cast it out with his word. I think we run away from God's word. We don't get his word in us. You will not get God's word in you. I know that. By just reading his word, you need to take that word and you need to find out, what is that word saying for me? What is that word saying I'm supposed to do? What is that word? And you begin to meditate on, you're going to pray, what is the message in that word for me? A great message in this word tonight is that Jesus Christ is a healer. The leper who was, this is really something that is, it would say what would be almost a terminal illness, you know. But he comes and he worships Jesus. And I believe to worship, he had to put aside the fact that he was unclean. He had to put aside the misery that he was in. He worshiped him and humbly said, if it be thy will, you can make me clean. We look at the centurion who comes for his servant. How many of us began to pray for others? And you know, one thing I discovered, if you're not ill and don't have the heart for people, you don't pray for their illness. You don't think you'll ever be ill as long as you're feeling well. We should not do that. I still think that God wants us to pray for those that are sick and not pray some perfunctory prayer, you know, because we're used to praying that. We need to pray to get the heart of God for that person, and not just the heart of God. We need to know how God wants us to pray for one who is sick, and then when that happens, and I think something else needs to happen. There are many people who are sick, have some type of sickness or disease, and they're just carrying it because they think it's supposed to be, they haven't decided to set themselves aside and just choose to pray and find out what God wants them to find out about their healing. I always refer to a book I wrote, a great book called The Ministry of Jehovah Rapha with Concepts of Divine Healing, and they were great concepts. I picked it up tonight, and I was looking at a couple of things that I wrote, and I'm just going to read a few paragraphs in that. The Spirit of the Lord is brooding over his people because the Lord is coming soon. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle, and his church today is sick, diseased, and crippled. It is written, behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a foreign country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am sick, I am black. Astonishment has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Saints, let us pray, and I ask you to pray with all fervency that the Lord will open the way for us to come into this place where he came on the earth in Matthew and bring healing back to the church, because that's the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And on from two places that I don't think it is today. One is, I don't believe that we tend to preach the healing messages and preach how great God is and that he is a healer and he died for healing. Remember, he came on the earth, and the first thing he did was began to heal all those that had diverse manners of diseases and all torments. We see that after he preached the gospel, he begins to heal again. I think just maybe there's a sophistication in the church. Someone said something to me, and I didn't know that, and maybe that is the truth, that so many people have been taught that if they're ill, there's something wrong with their salvation, and so people hide it because they don't want people to think that they are not as saved as they should be. Now, that is a pride on both sides, a lie and a pride. Number one, the lie is, it doesn't mean that we won't get sick. You know, the enemy is everywhere. He's in the earth. It's in the water we drink. It's in the food we eat. It's in the medicine we take. He's everywhere, and we live in this world, so our bodies can be attacked by the enemy. He's got all kinds of ways of attacking us, and then when you start thinking that someone who is, I would say, stupid enough to think that you can look down on someone's salvation because they're ill, that is wrong, because that is not the reason a person may be ill. And then the person who's afraid to tell maybe one who's preaching that I'm sick and I need you to pray this, one of the things you need to do is to pray like the leper knew what he wanted. He said, If thy will, thou can make me clean. He didn't say you can heal me. He said thou can make me clean. I think so often on the other side of the coin is the one who is sick that haven't sought the Lord for the Lord to tell them what to do or what's wrong or how to pray. They just know that they're in misery and they think it's one thing and there may be a deeper root to it. You see, the physician, Jesus Christ, is still available and sits high over his church as Jehovah Rapha and looks low at his church filled with sick bodies and hurting saints. He longs for them to look to him for healing and know that he is there in their midst to heal, deliver, and set free. Jehovah Rapha, the physician, is in the church to heal, and he calls the believer to set his sights on the ministry of healing. I believe it would be wonderful if we could get some pastors and ministers to set their sights on healing and seek the Lord for healing. The Lord Jesus calls attention to his body that all was finished at Calvary. The blood that flowed at Calvary was sufficient for the healing of all diseases and all that afflicted his church. Jesus Christ, the great physician in the spirit of Jehovah Rapha, wants to remind his church that he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So Jesus Christ is the great physician, and he wants full reign. He is the great physician for the body of Christ, and he alone knows how to perfect healing for his own. He waits for the one sick and a disease to allow him full reign in his or her life and thoughts so that one sick will co-labor with him for healing. Diseases sometimes come down through bloodline. You see, you don't have to be, it may not be anything you've done. That's why, you know, it's not what you did wrong that's going to give God the glory. It's his healing despite what you've done wrong, because he may come to you, he may wait for you to come and let him tell you what's wrong, but and let you repent of it or correct it, and then he will do the healing. But who gets the glory? Jesus gets the glory. You get no glory except the blessings of being well, you see. One may take on the nature of his or family and ancestors, such as rebellion and pride and stubbornness and worry and self-pity and fear. You know, all these brings on illness. Only God can remove these, but he awaits the attention of the sufferer so that the sufferer can co-labor with him as God deals with these deadly spirits. The blind Pharisees cleanse first that which is within the cup platter, that the outside of them may be clean, and that's in Matthew 23. So God calls the believer to bind the root spirit, rebuke it, and renounce it from his or her life in the name of Jesus so that the sufferer can repent and be healed in the body. And, you know, we don't get close enough to the Lord for that. We will spend our time generalizing things rather than being specific and giving God some time dealing with just that. We tend to pray the same prayers the same way that we've heard it prayed or that we prayed it all the time, and maybe that is not the words that will shed light on what we need to ask. The leper said, if it be thy will, thou can make me clean. The centurion said, my servant has palsy. And he, not only does he have palsy, and palsy should not have tormented him, because palsy sometimes will cause a person not to have the sensation it should have, but he said he's greatly tormented. And so he asked specifically, now, the Lord, because he came and asked, the Lord dealt with him in giving him to know what was it that brought the answer. It was his faith. There's a faith in the authority of Jesus and his knowing faith. It wasn't just a presumptuous faith, nor just a faith, that foolish faith, but it was a knowing faith. He knew one with authority had it. He knew that Jesus had authority. He had the faith in Jesus, that his authority would carry that word wherever he sent it. And this was a close connection to God. So God calls the believer, when the mind receives spiritual healing by getting rid of some spirits, it might be that there's some stubbornness, there's some pride, there's some things that he wants to bring to your attention. Many times the repentance needs to be of the sins one has committed in the body. These sins should have been committed so long, could have been committed so long ago that one has to seek the Lord earnestly and fervently for God to put his finger on that sin. Many sins committed long ago past may not have been considered a sin at the time, but now as one receives the mind of Christ on that sin, one must receive the mind of Christ for healing. That one can see sin as God sees sin. For healing, one must be spiritually minded and be led of the Spirit. I have found something that a lot of saints are afraid to for God to show them that they need correction, that we have been so full of spiritual pride that we are thinking that we don't even want God to correct, to see and tell us that we're wrong. And sometimes that is what's holding up the healing, because there is a balm in Gilead. It is his word. He sent his word to heal. There is a physician there. Jesus Christ is a physician. One will come and set him or herself to be healed by the Spirit of God. In the Spirit, then the health of his sons and daughters will be recovered. And so this is a topic that most people don't want to talk about. They just suffer. Saints are afraid to come in and say, I need healing. And you don't blame them, because when you tell people you need healing and they pray perfunctory prayer without a heart for the person who is suffering, without a heart for knowing how that person suffered. And, you know, believe it or not, something else may happen. And, you know, we look at people that are sick and we have a disdain for them. Let's say they're crippled and we have a disdain for them. We don't say it, but it's there. And when the Lord may have to bring that same thing upon us to give us the compassion we need for those that suffered at that time, if that happened, we need to repent before the Lord will remove that thing off of us, you see, because we don't have compassion for people who are maybe bent over, who may be sick, who may have a continuous a long-standing disease, may have cancer. You've never had cancer. You don't know how to talk to those people. You don't know how to literally go in with the idea that Jesus Christ is a healer. And you don't want to go in and say Jesus will heal you because of the fact that you need to not do this perfunctory talk about the things of the Lord. You need to set yourself to really seek the Lord if God has given you someone that you're to pray about. You don't know the suffering of the people, and then so much suffering is in the church and so much suffering of great saints, and we pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would give us grace to allow the Lord to use us beyond ourselves and come back. When you read Matthew, you look at the church. It's not the church that he died for. When you read the Beatitudes, you don't see that type of life in the church, not even even in the saints, you know. Jesus told the centurion, I haven't seen such faith, not even in Israel. And when you read chapter 6, and he talk about giving, and he talks about fasting, and you don't see that type of healing. You see a perfunctory part of it. And then when you get to 7, and we said, judge not, to be not judged. And when you read all of chapter 7, you don't see that type of church. Then when you get to 8, the church seems very weak when it comes to healing. If somebody needs healing, they go maybe to Benny Hinn or one person that they think that do preaching. Don't you think that Jesus Christ will come into every church? And I believe that is so needed for our churches today. We have our group that meets at 5 o'clock on Monday morning. Hopefully they have been praying for healing and believing God for healing. Because, you know, if you have a church, if you're a pastor, you need to be ready to heal all manner of diseases, not you, but Christ. You need to present Christ to the people for healing, because they will come into your church. You can't avoid it. You can't ignore it. And I'm going to issue a call to any and everyone who is a born-again believer, who heads up a church, who have any desire to serve the Lord, that you spend some time getting ready for to get to know Christ as a healer. I have a great book to help you. It's a book called The Ministry of Jehovah Rapha with Concepts of Divine Healing. And this book, what I always tell people about my book, the only thing you can do with it, it talks about it really is And when I say concepts, the concepts talk about the atonement and the blood of Jesus and the power of healing. And you see, these words are thrown around so much till they become common words. And what I always tell people for my book, read a paragraph, think on a paragraph, then pray and ask the Lord to make that paragraph yours or to open it up to you. And you can spend days on one page or three pages that will set you free to go through the entire book without stopping. We don't read for to get the spirit behind, like the scriptures or something that's written, like I write, for knowledge or understanding. You read for the Spirit of the Lord to come in and make that yours, and then for it to be the power behind the Word of God that will bring life and light when it's spoken. When Jesus spoke to the crowds, he came down. The crowds followed him. Why? Because there was a power in his Word. I'm going to tell you why I think there's not enough power in our words. So much of our word and what we learn is for our benefit. We release it in our prayer closet. We release it before the Lord, and we release it without thinking of the people that needs it. When we began to die out to the leper said, "If it be thy will, thou can make me clean." But he worshiped God first, okay? And so I think if you're sick and you're just crying out for your own healing, some people say, "Well, I can't minister healing because I'm sick." Well, it might be that you began to pray for others who are sick that the Lord began to heal you. I don't know the answer. I don't have the answer. I'm not a preacher who preaches healing myself. I do it in my own way, in a way, I think, but I'm not sure it's the way God wants it. But I want to take my own way of doing it. I want to say to anyone who might be interested, we try all kinds of things. We have scriptures on a healing cloth that we pray. We have anointing oil that we use. We have, I wrote this book on the concept of divine healing, and we talk about the word, the atonement and the blood of Jesus. We talk about the mysterious structure of the blood. We talk about appropriating Jesus' blood for healing. We talk about the blood in the communion cup. We talk about healing in God's eternal program. We talk about the keys to healing in this book. And anybody would like to have a copy of it, you can call us at 262-473-7472. We'd be glad to send you a copy. We'd be glad to send you all the things that we need to touch Christ in his word. We're going to be back again with you on Wednesday. I have a healing CD that people are using all over the world. It's a very good healing CD. It has the healing word of God on it and what the Lord told me when I made it, because I talk about the blood and the power in the blood, is that as people listen to that healing CD and get the word in them, the word becomes life in them, and even when they are sleeping, that word is working in them, and even if you put it in the room in your house, it starts cleansing the atmosphere, and if you keep listening to it, the word becomes life to you. It's not about healing. It is a pure word of God, and how and decreeing that word for the body, and decreeing it for all types of diseases and fighting Satan off the body. You know, we've spent all this time doing it, and I think very few people, I've sent it to different people, and then when I ask them, "Do you have it?" And they say, "Oh, I don't know where it is." And so Jesus Christ wants the glory for his death and resurrection. And it is written in his word that he was wounded for our transgression. Chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We can walk around with the healing needs and forget who the healer is and put all of our faith in doctors and medicine. And I don't say don't go to doctors, and I don't say don't take medicine. But when our faith is in Jesus, knowing faith, and that knowing faith is going to come when we start seeking him for what is the purpose that we need to know of the affliction. When we seek him, that we get to know how to pray for it, not assume anything, but to set ourselves to overcome. I said to one of my saints the other day, I said, don't you think it's time for this to be over? Can we position ourselves so that we can start seeking the Lord for your healing? I didn't even get a response. I got a response on something else, and this is a great, great woman of God. And so we need to position ourselves to let Jesus fulfill his purpose for his death and resurrection. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We thank you that you looked beyond our faults and you saw our needs, and you sent your only begotten Son that we might have life and we may have it more abundantly. Lord, to those that are sick, and even if it's just a mild sickness and they think, and even those that don't know that they're sick and don't know what's going, we plead the blood tonight that no plague will come near our temple, that the Holy Spirit then will begin to teach us and instruct us the ways of the Lord, how to pray. And we say to those that are sick tonight, Lord, if you have mercy on them. Like the centurion, Lord, you can send your word and heal them tonight. This word will become a healer. Lord, begin to wake them up in the spirit. Begin to let them pray in the most powerful Holy Ghost that's in them. And as they pray in the Holy Ghost in them, and if they don't have the Holy Ghost in them, Lord, that they can pray the language of the Holy Ghost. Let them open their spirits up for you to come in and minister to them tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost. Make yourself known to them. You can touch them tonight. Lord, you touched Peter's mother's hand, and she didn't linger. If you have the fever, she might have been sluggish getting up, but she wasn't. She immediately got up because that knows that you healed her instantly. And you can touch one tonight and heal instantly. And then, Lord, when the centurion, you sent your word, and at the very hour you sent your word, he was healed of the palsy. So, Lord, the word we spoke tonight, let it go into the hearts and the minds of the spirit of those that are suffering tonight, and let the spirit of the Lord begin to touch their heart, oh God, and touch their bodies, Lord, at the same time, that their hearts will be open to you like the leper's heart was he opened up to worship you, just to worship you and say, if thou will, you can make me clean. And so we release that word, O God, in the air, going to those who are listening, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Master, Savior, our King, who's able to make all grace abound toward us, that we can have all sufficiency for all things in every word, every good work. Father, thank you tonight for the word of healing. Let that word become living flesh to anyone that heard it tonight. And we say, in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. And saints, we bless you tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We'll be back with you on Wednesday at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. We were away from the studio on last Sunday night. We were in Atlanta, Georgia, the Wednesday night and Sunday night before we were in Florida. We were rounding up on Kingdom Warriors. The Lord called us to take a journey to round up Kingdom Warriors, and so we've been doing that, and we bless you. We want you all to be Kingdom Warriors. If you have to war in the spirit against your illness or sickness, begin to be a warrior. Don't just be a person who has a nice, gentle time that you talk to God about your trouble. War against the enemy of your soul, because he's the one that holds fast to that which keeps us from rising up and doing what God has called us to do. I'm going to say goodnight. I'm running a little over the time I usually go, but we will be back with you on Wednesday night. We will continue chapter 8. We find that after Jesus healed the mother-in-law, then he talks about the cost of discipleship, and then he healed the devil, the man possessed of the devil. So he's not just healing, he's doing kingdom deliverance at the same time. We bless you in the name of Jesus, and we say good night to you. Mm-hmm.